listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, picking up our shield and throwing it viciously at bad guys. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, going to try to keep his anger in check after this movie that he just saw, I think.
Oh my God. Captain America 4, which I was eager for like 2 or 3 years ago when they first announced it, but now that it's out as Captain America Brave New World, I kind of wish they hadn't. I know you and I are on a slight a bit divide on here, and I want to try and get your take first, because I've already written 4 fucking articles on this stupid movie, and I need a fresh perspective on it, so you go ahead.
Okay, so let me get out of the way that the plot was just really, the plot was weak for the most part. I didn't get it. It was your typical, you know, bad guy tricks good guy into good guys fighting each other kind of thing, whatever. What I liked about the movie was Sam Wilson's character and that Anthony Mackie brought to the table. I thought he did a great job as Captain America. He's got huge shoes to fill with, you know, Steve Rogers and Chris Evans, you know, donning that for the better part of 15 years or whatever. It's not easy to pick up from a franchise where you had this like person that was this iconic character and give it to somebody else. I thought they did a really good attempt at trying to make his captain who he is. And I really, what got me and made me feel like, okay, when we talk about this, I am going to say that I like this movie because of this scene. It was at the end of the movie when he's in the hospital talking to his friend. The emotion that I saw him having talking to his friend made me really kind of understand the turmoil that I think he felt in the show and everything that didn't really get come across very well in Captain America Winter Soldier, the dichotomy of how do you be this iconic thing that people look up to. And they're like, yeah, you look up to him, but people aspire to be you because you're not the person that's invincible. I really appreciated that they tried to give that character that dynamic, and that Anthony Mackie's face and his emotion, I bought it. It was a great acting job by him. The movie itself had ups and downs. Gene Carlin was quite good. Harrison Ford, I think, did a really good job. I'm confused about how a character like Thaddeus Ross can do such a 180, but I mean, family makes people do things, and he really misses his daughter, so I get it. Bringing back Liv Tyler, I was here for it. I was hoping that they would do that. I thought that was her voice on the phone. I liked it. I liked that they brought her back. I can appreciate that. But overall, the villain, if you can call him that, was weak to me. The mind control thing was weak to me. And the whole just like Ross at the end giving himself up and going into the raft and saying, this is where I belong. Like, that's not the General Ross that we've come to know through 20 plus, almost 25 years of these Hulk movies. So I don't know. That part was confusing. Anthony Mackie made me like the movie. But those things, like, I don't know how you can overlook those and not be confused.
When we put it this way, I agree with your basic points. Mm-hmm. I think Anthony Mackie absolutely kills it in the role of Falcon and now Captain America. And I think the moments where it touches upon the idea that he needs to be not just a figure of hope, but a figure of inspiration. That is really good. Like, Steve Rogers just walked into it and just took the job and became Captain America out of his innate goodness. Yeah. This is a role that Sam Wilson has inherited, and he needs to figure out his way to become Captain America. And I think that's a great plot line. I think it's solid.
Yeah.
I think we already got that plot line in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and I kind of felt like we were rehashing it a little bit here. It wouldn't have felt like a rehash if he had the conversation with people outside of the new Falcon and Bucky, both of which felt like those were scenes they just kind of filmed on the side and inserted in later, because they're like, wait, he doesn't have a character arc in this movie.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. That was a cool scene with him and Bucky, though. I was wondering who was going to walk in, and I was like, oh, all right, Bucky, I'm in.
All of that would have been great if it was in a movie that was more focused just on Sam Wilson. Because I said in one of my articles, I felt like maybe he should have gone and inspired some people as just a street-level dude. Like, maybe not go to, like, a after-school thing or a community center or something. You don't want to, like, just be like, he's black, he needs to go to a black neighborhood. That doesn't, you don't have to do, I mean, you could do it, and it's Disney.
He's out there shooting hoops with the kids after school, like, something dumb like that, stereotypical, like, kind of whatever.
If the villain of the movie was a bunch of dudes that he'd been counseling who decide to go rogue and do their own, like, terrorists sell for money or to strike back against America or something. That would make more sense to me as something that ties into Sam Wilson, because if he has a connection to the villains and he's been trying to counsel them and show that he's more than just the dude with the shield, then that gives an arc to what Sam Wilson is doing. The problem is the fact that Sam Wilson was weirdly, awkwardly stitched into what was essentially an Incredible Hulk sequel that clearly was waiting for the Hulk to show up, who just never did.
That was a very, like, the build-up for that. Like, I thought initially that I was like, you know, you kind of spoiled a bit of a reveal here. It'd be kind of cool to not know exactly what's going on with, you know, with Ross. General like, Ross, you know, what's happening here. But the you gave it away in the previews. Yeah, trailer killed it, showing the Red Hulk. I mean, I think, like, little things, like him breaking the table in that one scene when he was on the boat and he was squeezing the pipes. I thought they would pan us back and give us a look at the pipes and, like, have, like, you know, a hand grip mark in there. And they didn't even do that. I was, why didn't you show me what he did? You heard these pipes squeal and break. Like, these would be things you show there alluding to there's something going on. Mm-hmm. But we're just waiting for that moment for him to break and become Red Hulk.
But it also ties into the fact that, and I did write a different article on this. I wrote so many articles on this, guys. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't gone and read them, go read the articles. I have so many. I had 4 days worth of thoughts after this, which is just ridiculous. I have a problem. But
so that, also, if you guys are listening to this and you've already read his articles, thank you for being a degenerate.
Yeah, be a degenerate with me. It's great. No, but it's one of these things of the Marvel Cinematic Universe from Phase 4 onwards has been, I think calling it poorly planned would be an understatement.
Rushed.
Didn't go in with a clear thought. There was a lot of planning and thought put into the first couple phases, especially. Because Feige had to prove to the studios that he could make this work. So you had to have, like, a plan, and you had to have one guy focused on making these movies. And he only made one or two or three a year for a while, so that the one dude could keep an eye on all of it and shepherd them and keep everything focused. One guy running the universe, and that was great. Then we got to Phase 4, and Disney's like, hey, we need Disney shows, and hey, we want more movies, and hey, we need you to do all of this on a tight schedule with COVID going on. And Feige, bless his heart, can't do everything. So instead of having one guy overseeing a tightly plotted universe, we had a multiverse saga, which doesn't have a main villain, especially now that Kang has been fired, and a dude who's supposed to be running it who has now suddenly, if we're being kind, 10 projects a year to keep an eye on, and he just can't.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot for him to handle.
Where he should have had Falcon as one of the first characters with a movie in there, and then he should have shown up a couple times in other films. Mm-hmm. Bucky should have been introduced there and then had his own thing that he was doing somewhere else. Yelena should have had a couple of projects in the first, like, first couple phases leading the Thunderbolts. These should have been our core characters, because I feel like of all the characters we've gotten, they're the only ones that we've gotten any development on. They should have been our lead three Avengers. And they're all kind of associated and kind of know each other. And it works out pretty well to make a core team of a new Black Widow, Winter Soldier, and a Captain America. And that feels right in a way, you know?
It does. That's true. Yeah.
Bring other people around and insert one of them in little cameos here or there, all while Kang is in the background plotting and scheming in, like, bonus scenes or side plots. Like, Kang sees what's going on with Spider-Man No Way Home. It's a multiverse thing. He spies it. He doesn't have to be involved in it, but if he's just watching it in a couple scenes unfold, that at least builds Kang a little more than we got, which was nothing.
How many years of buildup we get, like, a little bits of Thanos here and there at the end of these movies? You know, like, the same actor who was scenes of Thanos was not Josh Brolin at the end. It was how long they were working on that. Yeah. They didn't even have him cast.
They showed him in Avengers, the very first one. And then they hinted that he was trying to get the stones in Guardians of the Galaxy, but they started setting up those stones even beforehand. So, like, even if Thanos wasn't out there, you were like, okay, this is a stone, and this is a stone, and these stones are over here. So we're learning about his plan the whole time. Kang never had a fucking plan, which is the fault of Marvel. Firing him and deciding to bring in a new villain instead is also not a good move. They should have just recast the fucker. But you needed to build him more, and you needed to give us some idea of what he was plotting and scheming, which we never got. It was bad from start to finish, and that's how you get a movie like Captain America Brave New World, where it's a guy we haven't seen in, what, 3 years? taking on a role we thought he already had in a movie that isn't even his own movie?
Yeah. I don't know. It was... I mean, I think you really kind of hit on it a little bit. I think of the word investment when I think about, you know, Marvel now. Like, what characters am I invested in? Who do I care about? You know, who am I still attached to? When Bucky walked on the screen, I felt that. Yeah. I was like, okay, Bucky, cool. I feel that to a degree with Sam Wilson's character. You know, he was there in the lead up. He went through some shit. He was put in prison, you know, in the original movies before everything all went down. Like, I have some attachment to him, but like what really got me to make me think of this movie, like when his buddy, the new Falcon, went down, I was like, damn, I don't care. I feel bad for Sam, but I don't care if this character doesn't make it out. Is this just like, okay, now he's going to die and that propels Sam's arc in another direction? That's where I thought Falcon they were going.
3. Oh no. Was it dinosaurs or something? Guess we'll have to find another Timmy. Like, yeah exactly. But yeah, no, it's, I agree with you. There's a certain amount of that Top Gear meme of, oh no. Anyway. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You just don't care. Exactly. He's a fine character, barely developed and mostly just a cocky dude we vaguely know.
Yeah, and through no fault of his own. We don't have an attachment to him.
Yeah, no, he's supposed to be the new Cap's Bucky, but we have no development to him the way we had development with Bucky. Bucky is a great fucking character from minute one of his introduction. Right.
Exactly.
We care about him. We care about him so much that he's probably the only person left from the original franchise we're still following. Like, yay, Bucky!
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, Sam Wilson's great because he gets introduced and they have good chemistry and they're good buds. And I like Yelena because she's introduced and immediately steals scenes that she's in. And then she shows up again in Hawkeye. And we know she's showing up again in Thunderbolt. So I kind of have a bit of a vague connection to her. But there's plenty of characters. Like, I liked Shang-Chi. We haven't seen him in 5 years, and I don't fucking care about him anymore. Will I give a shit if Ms. Marvel shows up again at this point? I mean, she had two projects, but no. We don't see enough of them. I don't even fucking care about Nick Fury anymore, because the projects he was in were bad, and he hasn't been in anything else. Like, it's awful.
The old guard's gone, and like they tried to bring back a little bit, like bringing back, you know, Tim Blake Nelson as Sam Stearns, Mr. Blue. Like, okay, you know, I get why this guy has a knowledge of Gamma and what it's all about, first of all, with the interaction, because that's a lot, like smart guy Gamma, like, sure, okay, whatever, but there's a connection there, so okay, I'll buy it. And Ross putting him in jail for years and using him as his own personal, like, you know, think tank. I'm buying it, I'm with it, I'm good, okay, but like then that I can't get over the arc of Ross. I just can't. Like, what in any movie? Yeah, what in any movie or anything he's done has shown you anything that this was the character he was going
to
be?
Well, and that's because we should have had more development of him. Again, I alluded to in one of my articles, what you should have done is early on in one of the Marvel pieces, maybe Falcon and Winter Soldier, have him show up, have him do a couple quick things, act like a heavy for a few scenes yelling at the two of them, like, you know, like that police captain who's like, damn you cops and your mischief, you know, have him do that kind of fucking thing. And then after that, and maybe he helps fight some terrorist group or something in that show, and he gets a bunch of credit and is on news programs, that builds his profile. Then over the course of several movies, you just put like posters up or news reports of him like running for president, maybe ads running in the background. You do little things. That way, when he shows up in a Captain America movie that's actually about Captain America, he can be president and have a little more progress to his arc. And then that way, when he shows up in an actual fucking Hulk movie that's about the Hulk, like the Red Hulk and Leader plotline should have actually been about, then there's development for him to be Red Hulk, because we've seen him for the last 4 years.
They literally did this in the movie with Bucky. Like, literally did it.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it with the main character of the movie.
Yeah, they're like, doing the right thing with Bucky about this, and they can't do it for actual villain Ross. It's because they weren't thinking about it. They just decided to throw it in last minute.
Yeah, and you know, they're like, they throw him in there right away. It's like, oh, he wins the presidency. Okay, interesting. I thought he was like campaigning or whatever, and they were going to set it up. Okay, no, he's president right away. Okay, here we go. And then fast forward 5 months, and you know, my first 100-day thing and all that, which is relevant to what's going on now. So I get why that has come out, and you know, I'm throwing that little Easter egg in there for people. But like, the whole movie, you just believe that, like, this guy is just he's changed, he's troubled, even though he's shown zero any kind of remorse for anything he's done. He's always has the country's best interest in mind, so like, I kind of get that in his own twisted way. But this guy, who is just essentially a villain throughout every Marvel interaction he's ever had, is now portrayed as this guy trying to bring people together and bring peace.
It just doesn't work for me. You need an
arc
for him to get to this point, which is a good end to the arc.
There's no bridge connecting that to this.
No, none at all. It's one part of a story that should have been multi-part, not the end part. And it doesn't work. Like, Betty, I'm fine with Betty showing up the way she does. It would have been better if she showed up in a movie with her ex-boyfriend. Like every time I come back to her, I'm like, yeah. I get the fact that the Hulk can't be in a Hulk movie with the way that Universal's licensing was up. I don't know if that still applies anymore, because it's been 17 years. But Hollywood contracts are weird, and I don't know exactly what the terms were. I'm not a Hollywood lawyer, and Marvel doesn't talk to me about this shit. But if there's, for some reason, the Hulk can't be in a Hulk movie named a Hulk movie, like, you know, he showed up in Thor Ragnarok and shit, and that was fine. He was basically the lead. But if he's not allowed to be in a movie that's named the Hulk, then you need a movie that actually works for him. And, like, the thing that I discussed was maybe put him in a Black Widow movie, where he's working with her against the leader, because Black Widow fighting against leader kind of makes more sense, just in a way. Like, she's counter-ops, he's counter-ops, it works. Mm-hmm. Plus, she has a connection to him through her sister, so, like, all of that together makes a certain amount of sense. It doesn't make sense to have Falcon in this movie with a random Black Widow that isn't Yelena or someone we know, just some random, like, Israeli soldier that's also a Black Widow who's now suddenly working secure. Like, again,
they glossed over that, man, by the way.
Why not just use Yelena? If you're going to do this movie, I would have cared a modicum more if it was Yelena in here than some random girl. Like, I don't get that. Like, again and again, throughout this movie, dumb shit happens. If Yelena's in there doing these scenes with Sam Wilson, I'm suddenly more invested in it, because it feels like this is a Sam Wilson plot line and not just him randomly in a Hulk plot line. I don't like it's a tight balance, and it wouldn't have taken much to at least justify him being here, but it would have been a lot easier to just not have him here and have some other character that Hulk can co-star with, so you can have the damn Hulk movie you wanted all along.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. This was a Hulk movie and a Captain America bow is kind of the way it was all put together. Yeah. Like, you're waiting for the Hulk the entire movie, and you get a side arc of Captain America the whole time. Now, I'm into that side arc. I bought that story. I like Sam Wilson. I like him as Cap. But the whole movie was just a build up to this 4 minutes of action of Hulk. We see Hulk smash, and then it's over?
Yeah. And, like, I'm sorry. I like I like his adamantium wings. I think Sam Wilson's very cool. There is no way in hell he stands up for 4 minutes against a Hulk. There's just no way. Dude without super serum somehow magically stands up against a Hulk and gets up after taking a punch, like, even to the wings, taking a punch. I don't buy it. I like Sam Wilson. I think Anthony Mackie's great. He sells the shit out of it as best as he can. The movie can't sell it.
Yeah, I was very confused with them fighting there at the end, and he puts his wings down, the vibranium wings, and they're absorbing, and like, he can even tell, like, oh, this is not going well, because they're interacting in a way that I don't think is good. You can notice him doing that. But when Hulk is on top of him and he's punching, even if he is hitting the wings and the shield, he is going to shatter every bone in Anthony Mackie's body.
There's a certain amount of, I understand this thing blots out pressure, or like pressure and violence in him. It can only do so much. You're still going to get smashed into you. Like, no.
Yeah. There has been one thing that we have seen in this entire Marvel history that Hulk can't do, and that's lift Mjolnir. Everything else is no problem for him.
Yeah, no. It's when you fight a Hulk, you bring in a Hulk. Hulk beats Hulk. What If even proved that. That show showed that if you have a Hulk that goes bad, you basically need to build Jaegers from Pacific Rim to even have a chance, and you still lose. It's like the movie couldn't really justify its existence, and it had the wrong characters in key roles. And whatever else you do with that, there's no way to fix that without rewriting almost the entire universe leading up to it.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it would have been better if when he does transform that, like, not that make him like an old or feeble looking Hulk, but I mean, dude looks shredded, like he was ready to go. And Harrison Ford's older and Thaddeus Ross is old. And like, I get it, like Gamma, you know,
yeah,
whatever. But like, if even you give him gray hair, give him a little bit of stubble, give him something to make it look like Sam has a chance. Because Thor, a god, battled to a draw against Hulk.
Yeah.
Cap's good. He ain't no god.
And there's nothing in the movie that establishes for us that Red Hulk is any less of a beast than Green Hulk. So we have to just, we have to take the power level that we know. If Red Hulk is weaker, we need to be shown that. But when Red Hulk hasn't even expressed himself and he's basically destroying parts of a Navy ship as out of anger, like when Red Hulk shows up, Red Hulk is going to be a monster and we don't see that.
Yeah, he annihilated the White House in two single jumps. That was Sam Wilson lasting 5 minutes, and I all mean, respect to him in the world.
Shitty American construction. What are you going to do? You hire a contract. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, parts of the movie did work for me. You know, I touching on Giancarlo a bit as well. Anthony Mackie was great. Giancarlo, I love anything he's in. I just, I love this guy. I think he's fantastic as an actor. He plays the best scumbags in the world. Sometimes he just has that face you just want to punch. And like, you know, the fighting scenes between him and Anthony Mackie and like, you know, him kind of like taunting him, like, you know, I can't wait to kill Captain America. Like, you ain't Steve Rogers kind of thing. Like, I liked that dynamic and the whole, like, you know, them going to him at the end, almost like the Hannibal Lecter, like, you know, let me go to the source of the evil to figure out how to think like the evil kind of thing to get some answers. Like, I like that. Again, it's been done, but I dug their interaction between the two of them. There were some good points in there. I mean, there was some.
I wish he was the main villain of a movie as opposed to
I thought he was.
Like, well, yeah, like, he's just kind of stitched in there in reshoots. He's not even, he wasn't even meant to be the villain, but then they just kind of added him, and you can feel it. You can feel how the movie's just like, oh, we should put someone that Sam Wilson can actually treat as an actual villain on his terms in here. Let's just write in some scenes and tack them in afterwards. And he has like 5 minutes of screen time. It's good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It would have been better 5 minutes if he was developed.
Yeah, it's they did a lot of callbacks too. Like, he references that he was there in Harlem, you know, in the Hulk movie where, you know, Eric, is that Eric Bana? No, that was still the Abomination. That was Edward Norton's. Okay, they alluded, like, he was the one who picked up the Abomination and the Doctor kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, okay, I guess we're kind of tying it in there. Like, I there were little things that, like, if you know the universe, you're going to get here and there. But, like, my wife has watched a lot of these, and she gets a lot of things in the universe. I caught the, you know, when Cap and Falk are talking and he's like, figure out who this girl is. And he's like, oh shit, she was trained in the Red Room. She's ex-widow. Like, I caught that. Like, I knew what that meant.
Yeah.
My wife had turned to me and goes, what does that mean? And like, you shouldn't have to have somebody that's seen 20 movies ask that question.
Yeah, there's too much. And it's just not enough development. I think the Black Widow movie was crap. But if we're going to keep it in the universe, then you need to reference the Red Room more or make it more important. Have the Black Widow show up more. Or don't reference it at all and just have it fucking be Yelena.
And why is the U.S. government okay with the chief of security being former Widow? Right. Like, why is that okay?
That
seems like a problem.
If we had a movie where she saves Thaddeus at one point, that makes sense. But they would have less of an issue with it if it's just, again, fucking Yelena, because she's got a connection we understand. She's connected to Valentina, the CIA director.
Right.
See, CIA director could just put her in the White House, and that makes perfect sense. Some random Red Room Black Widow, though, that makes no sense. Especially when, I think, at least in the comics, and it's not countermanded here, she's like ex-Mossad. Like, you don't get a security clearance if you're ex-Mossad. I don't care what you say, okay? They're fucking great spies. They're real killers. You hire her as, like, a private contractor, sure. You don't put her in the White House.
Yeah. You don't bring them in. You don't let them know everything.
No, because you don't know where their allegiance lies.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, and that's why they're great at what they do.
Yeah.
So, no. I mean, I don't know. There,
I want
some more good points.
I want to.
We're picking it apart a bit, and the more that, like, we're talking, the more flaws I'm finding, too.
That's still,
That still does not take away my joy of enjoying the movie as a whole.
Sure.
Bad moments here and there, questionable things, sure. I still think Anthony Mackie was great, and we talked about that a little bit.
I call it tolerable. Because if you compare it to what's come out in Phase 4, for the most part, it's one of the better Phase 4, Phase 5 movies. That's not a high bar. I definitely don't think it compares well to the previous Captain Americas at all. Like, I think it's really bad in comparison to those. But it's a tolerable movie. My wife really liked it. She called it an A-minus movie, which, okay, she had fun. She got to see some good smashing. She got to see Anthony Mackie. It was a good time. That's cool. If that's all you needed from the movie, that's fine. I'm too much of a writer with too much of an emphasis on character development as a core for me that I couldn't just shut my brain off for that. And I know it's a Marvel movie, and there's a certain amount of shutting your brain off because it's just dumb superheroes, but they still have to present a decent enough story that I can get lost in it to an extent. I'll accept some dumbness. I'll accept some weirdness. I'll accept little plot holes here or there. Like, the whole last act of Captain America, the Winter Soldier, is just a big explosion fest that doesn't suit the rest of the movie. Do I care? No. Fucking great movie. I'll watch that shit all day long. I could accept some of these things. I couldn't accept it in Captain America Brave New World because there wasn't enough good stuff to balance out the crap that was bothering me.
A lot of the movies also had like some kind of like sacrifice slash like game thing. I guess Anthony Mackie and Sam's journey as Cap and kind of figured himself out as the overarching arch and redemption of this movie. But like, I just keep coming back to what they did to Ross and how at the end of the movie he's in the prison and all that. Like, I just didn't buy it.
Yeah.
That's so out of character. You know, you hit it really on the head. There's no, the buildup of that moment, that should be impactful, seeing him in prison.
The
him putting himself there, like, if you know the franchise and you followed since the really bad, you know, Ang Lee fucking movies back in the day for Hulk, then like, you kind of get what's going on. You get why this is kind of big for Ross. But all you saw in this movie was Harrison Ford just like taking one for the team, I guess, for a character that has not shown anything like this.
And I'm gonna make a point. It's not a good movie, but I have a soft spot in my heart for Hulk, the Ang Lee movie. I recognize it's not good. I do, but it's better than The Incredible Hulk, and I like it for what it does.
We'll talk about that movie too. But to piggyback on what you said, like, because I don't think we talked about the original Hulk.
Most people don't watch it because it's kind of bad.
What I do like about that movie too, upon like rewatching it, is like they tried to really make that feel like a comic book, like the way it was shot. The cinematography was cool. The panels almost looking like that they were, you know, like paneling out, like they're like storyboarding. That's the word I'm looking for. I dug that. That was kind of cool.
And you hired Ang Lee to make a Hulk movie. Ang Lee delivered a very Ang Lee movie. It's a lot of pathos. Yes. It's a lot of drama. Yes. It's quiet and studying the characters. I mean, this is a dude who made Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
One of the greatest action movies of all time, which is like 95% talking.
Right?
And it's glorious talking. And then he went on to make Brokeback Mountain. And you're like, okay, I know what this dude likes. And it's not a monster movie. So the fact that he cranked out something pretty watchable for the Hulk, I thought was kind of a win, honestly.
Yeah, you're right. It was the way it was shot after the fact. Because, we're getting off topic a little bit. I love the Ratmore Hulk. I love the Ratmore Hulk. That's another point. But the villain in that movie was poor. The bad CIA agent guy who had this thing against him, because I guess he had a crush on the daughter, was stupid. But I liked Eric Bana as Bruce Banner. I liked that. I can't remember who played Betty in that movie.
The chick from Labyrinth and Dark City and some other shit that I haven't watched.
I'll have to look it up. Dark City is a great movie.
I love Dark City.
So Jennifer Connelly, thank you. You know, bringing her back would have been pretty cool. And like, she was good in that movie. And like, I bought the dynamic between her and Bruce and the real emotion there. And like, the first time you see Hulk kind of Hulk right there, because she's the one, like, you kind of got that a little bit in this one too, with, you know, him thinking about his daughter and all that. And he gave him the courage to walk out. Yeah.
She needed to walk out in that scene, like magically just be there. Have the fucking Black Widow chick pull her up in a car. Have her, like, sure, Captain America talking him down is good, And I think that's core to Sam Wilson's character as like a counselor. But it sort of then had as the like the denouement to that, then like have her come out afterwards and be like the cap on it, you know?
Yeah. That would have been great. You know, have like him talking him down a little bit. You see him calming down ever so slightly, you know, the fire is out of his eyes. Yeah. But then he looks over Sam and he sees Betty.
Yeah.
And then he starts to like de-hulk. And that works. That would have been great. Yeah. That would have been good, because then you get she's the one who brought him back, but instead we get her walking in the last few minutes of the movie, visiting him in prison when he's already at his most vulnerable, and the moment's gone.
It's gone. It doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
Why does Marvel not hire us to make these movies for them? I swear, we have much better ideas.
Look, we just throw shit at a wall and it sticks, man. Yeah, what can I say? Right. Like, it's
good back and forth.
Yeah. So I don't know. Overall, the movie was a solid C for me in the realm of like the way Marvel's been, which, you know, would have been an F back in the day
of
phase one and two. It was a good movie. I liked it. I think I enjoyed this more than I thought I would. I went there for what we were doing. I went there because I hadn't seen a Marvel movie in a while. I went there to see good acting, and I got that. The story, after picking it apart a little more, the flaws are throughout, and there's issues. It's gone from, like, you know, Marvel's gone from storytelling this, like, ultimate vision to, like, just, like, cramming as much as we can into every movie. And to your point, there's no buildup. There's no attachment.
No,
so I hope that, like, what we got in this with Sebastian Stan, I hope translates very well to Thunderbolts. I got excited for that preview. I didn't know what Thunderbolts is going to be. I don't, this is beyond my knowledge of comic book here. I like that dynamic. I like the cast that are in there. Yelena's there. The dude from Stranger Things is there as a Red Guardian. Like, I like him.
Yep.
So like I'm in, this looks like a slapsticky wannabe kind of like a Guardians-esque movie, but I'll buy this cast interaction.
Yeah.
So there's some good here, and there's some good lead in, but like what you wrote for Bucky to translate into Thunderbolts, you gave me none of that shit for Thaddeus Roth translating into this.
And so I think I'm with you on this. It's a C movie at best. Did I like it better than the third Ant-Man? Absolutely. Is that where I think Marvel should be at this point? Abso-fucking-lutely not.
No. They've come too far. They've done too much over the last 20 years and given so much, like, you know, great memories to people to just, like, it's cramming product down people's throats again.
Yeah. Oh, well.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, thinking that maybe we really should have just stopped at Endgame. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna go control his anger a little bit because, you know, he's sad.
Take your pills. We will see you all next